Oh, here we are at the Egyptian Theater and for the Black Stallion screening and with Leonard Maltin. Tell me a little bit about, what do you think about this film being here?
I mean, there are silent films, there are classics from the so-called golden age of Hollywood, and then there are what I call modern classics, and I would call Black Stallion a modern classic.
Almost 40 years later, huh?
Yeah, right. Well, listen, 40 years is nothing to sniff at, and it means definition of classic is something that has stood the test of time, and that's a lifetime. 40 years, but we're still here, and so is the movie, thank goodness.
And did you see it when it first came out?
I sure did.
What was your impression then?
Oh, that it had a kind of a magic to it. It is kind of magical realism, I think, to a pretty strong degree. It's so poetic, and it has Mickey Rooney sort of bookending his career, although his career went on for decades after this, because we think of him from National Velvet, another of the great horse movies of all time. And then, you know, years later in Black Stallion, where he's just as wonderful.
Do you have any particular background in horses?
None. I ride one every 30 years, whether I feel like it or not.
Okay. All right. So we have a new convert here. You're about
No, no, no. I like horse movies just fine.
Okay.
I have no skills as an equestrian.
All right. What's it like being here for the film?
Rosenberg, I'm sorry.
it's very exciting. I mean, you're kind of surrounded by all these icons of old Hollywood. It's so gorgeous in the theater. And I was talking to Leonard about the passion of the people who are involved and come year after year and just kind of get recharged. And it's fun. It's actually really exciting.
I heard some additional stories today about how this film evolved, and I loved the part. I didn't realize you were on the set basically writing before the cameras rolled.
Oh, yes. Yeah, day after day. I mean, there were times when we would actually write in the evenings at home and then hand pages to Carol ahead of time. But usually we were kind of right there sitting hunkered somewhere on the grass or in a chair sometimes and, ripping off pages and throwing him at Mickey Rooney, who would scowl and then do it.
So what I'm really interested, I'm a big fan of horse movies, and mm-hmm. we don't see too many of those in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there, Corky Randall always said there were, I knew Corky, got to know him, and he said he thought there were more good horse films to be made. Do you think there's a market for that?
Oh, I think if you make a good movie of any kind, mm-hmm. That's step one, and then you hope people will discover it. There's a very good film out right now called The Rider, which is a small, lovely film. It's playing in theaters right now as we speak. Sony Pictures Classics acquired it. And it's a beautiful little film, very understated, very low key. And it's not about the horse so much. It's about this fellow who has grown up on a ranch, is a rodeo champion, and has a terrible accident that may keep him from ever riding again. What is he going to do with his life? That's what the film is about. So this is a roundabout answer to your question. There's always room for a good horse movie because there's always room for a good movie. And I'm sure there are many more great stories to be told.
I guess to me too, it's almost like an art form that if we don't keep having these to preserve these traditions that Corky and then his protégés, there are a few of them still around, but they're not getting a lot of work.
I know. This is true of so many specialists in the movie business, especially here in L.A., because there's so much what they used to call runaway production. They don't even bother calling it that anymore. It's gone. Yeah. You know, they're shooting in Atlanta a lot. They shoot in Louisiana. They shoot in New Mexico. These are all states that give big tax rebates to the filmmakers and to the producers. So, you know, it's understandable. They're trying to make a living, and they save money by going out of state. Meanwhile, people who rent props and costumes here in L.A. who are specialists in various crafts, arts and crafts, like Wranglers, are suffering.
Have you been? You've been on set when they're working a horse at Liberty, right? You know what Liberty is?
No.
Where they're basically, it's like a conductor leading an orchestra. It's uh-huh. all by whip cues. They may have a horse standing there and want him to go there. It's all by a cue. The horse could say, "No, thanks. I'm going that way."
No, I've never experienced that.
I think maybe that's a hidden story. I don't know. There was uh-huh. a lot of that on Black Stallion. Did you have a favorite scene in Black Stallion? I'm not going to keep you much longer, but is there anything that jumps out when you think of this movie that is a picture in your mind, either of the snake or the, something like that?
I remember how frightening the fire scene is. That's the first thing I think of, actually.
Okay. Is there anything else that you think that people that... I mean, we've got a pretty strong horse industry, and it's mainly dominated by women now.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse industry is always looking for ways to grow. What do you think they can learn from the Black Stallion?
Storytelling. It's not just about great moments or great scenes, even great performances. Those are all components. But you've got to have a good story to tell and know how to tell it. And some films are told first on the page. Some films come together in the editing process. When you know, they piece together mm-hmm. All those ingredients and by trial and error, the director sometimes says they find the film in the editing process. It doesn't matter how, the result is what really counts.
Okay, I know Tim Farley told me there's scores of footage that never got used on Black Stallion. I don't know, it'd be neat if there was a place to put that somehow. Now, and you're talking about this stuff that never came out.
I have mixed feelings about that. On the one hand, as a film buff, I'm curious to see what didn't make it into the film and maybe wonder why the director ultimately decided not to use it. And the other part of me says, no, I want to just enjoy and cherish the movie as it is, the way it was meant to be seen, the finished film, the finished product.
Anything else you'd like to point out or say? That you personally just think,
as an old movie buff, it was so poignant and wonderful to see Mickey Rooney in this film because he'd been so wonderful in National Velvet 30 some years earlier, and here he was, an older man, though he lived for many decades to come, but as an older man giving another really beautiful performance. In the role that Jeannie and Melissa wrote for him.
Yeah, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.